Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Acts 5:14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Titus 1:4, to Titus, my own son after the common faith. The common faith is a faith that is shared by all. And the bond that bound the early church together and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ was faith. Faith was the common bond that existed among those to whom the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed, believed, and obeyed. As we examine faith, I want to answer the question, what is faith? According to the New Testament definition. And then I want to examine the benefits of faith. As we answer the question, what is faith? We say that faith is an assurance. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is not seen. Heaven and hell are not seen. The eternal world is not seen. And yet we believe. We believe in God. We believe in a place that the Bible calls heaven. We believe in all that God has said. The reason that we believe and have faith is because of our assurance. Faith is a substance or an assurance, an evidence or a conviction. We believe, not because we have seen, not because of any empirical evidence that we might possess, but rather after a simple assurance that God is, and that what God has said is indeed His very word. We believe because we are assured and convicted of that which we believe. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This verse has tremendous power to the believer. God requires that we believe in him. If we would please God, we must believe first that God is. And we must also believe that God rewards. But does God reward everyone? No, He rewards those who diligently seek Him. God must be sought. If we would have a relationship with God, if we would know God, if we would please God, then we must seek God. And Jesus taught in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, that we must seek Him with all the heart, all the mind, all the soul, and all the strength. God must be sought totally and completely if we would please Him and if He would reward us. We must do that diligently. It must be a commitment on our part. It must be a devotion of our soul and of our spirit. It must be the desire that drives us and motivates us. Faith is an assurance that pleases God. Faith is an obedient walk. We walk obediently as God has taught us because of faith. Faith is not simply a conviction of the mind or an assurance of the heart, But faith is an obedient walk with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of faith, we believe what God has spoken, and our faith motivates us to obey what God has delivered unto us. Romans 4:20-21 speaks of Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Here is the faith that pleases God. Abraham was told in his old age, as well as Sarah, that a son would be born unto them. But from the time that that promise was made until the time that that promise was fulfilled was a long period of time. Abraham never staggered at the promise that God had made unto him. He continued to believe that God would perform what he had said and that God was able to perform what he had said. Abraham did not consider how old he was or how old Sarah was and the unlikelihood that a child would be born because of age, but rather was strong in faith. And the Bible says that he gave glory unto God as a result of that faith. James, the second chapter, verses 21 through 23, explains the obedient walk that Abraham made with God because of that faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Now God has blessed Abraham and Sarah with a son. That son is named Isaac. Isaac was going to be the heir of the world. Through Isaac was going to come the seed line of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Isaac and his birth and his life, and through his children that were born unto him and all that would follow would bring the blessing of Jesus Christ upon all humanity. But God told Abraham, take Isaac, thine only son, offer him as a sacrifice. You remember how Abraham took Isaac. He took a knife. He took the wood, he took the fire, which were the necessary ingredients of sacrifice, with the exception of a lamb. And how they made that long journey up Mount Moriah. Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac up on the altar. He did not stagger at the promise that God had made concerning the birth of Isaac, for he knew that God would fulfill that promise. But then even after Isaac was born, God told Abraham, offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham did not stagger at that command. Abraham did not hesitate at that command. Faith does not stagger. Faith does not hesitate. Faith obeys. Faith commits. Faith is an obedient walk with God. And by the works, when Abraham offered Isaac upon the altar, he was justified. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was identified as the friend of God because he obediently walked with God. Faith is a personal relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul makes this declaration of faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Crucifixion brought death. Crucifixion brought about the end of life. And yet Paul uses this figurative term to identify his death with Christ and his commitment to Christ and his knowledge of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I live, but I do not live. But Christ liveth in me. Christ had taken control of the life of the Apostle Paul. In the 22nd chapter of Acts, in the 23rd verse, Paul is sailing to Rome. He's going to be imprisoned in Rome. He's going to be beheaded in Rome. And yet he's making this journey. A terrible storm occurs while they are on this particular journey. And the Apostle Paul tells the crew, he said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul said, "I belong to Christ. I belong to God. I'm the possession of God." Faith is a personal relationship with God. Faith knows God. Faith listens to God. Faith obeys God. Faith walks with God. Paul said, "I live, but I do not live, because Christ lives in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said, "I live by faith. I am in a personal relationship with Jesus. I know Jesus because of faith." Acts 4 and verse 13. Some of the apostles have been brought before the hearing of the Jewish council. They performed this miracle on their way into the temple to worship, and they've been questioned about the performance of that miracle. And so they stand before this council. And the council says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." This council examined these apostles, and they took note of one thing: they had been with Jesus. Faith means we have been with Jesus. Faith means we walk with Jesus. Faith means we please Jesus. Faith means we obey Jesus. Faith means we are assured of the teaching of Jesus and of the demands and requirements that he makes upon our life. And there is a benefit to faith. There is a blessing that comes with faith. We are the people that we are because of faith. We're able to live the life that we live because of faith. One of the benefits of faith is that it accesses the grace of God. God has been gracious in his offer of salvation to humanity. Humanity does not deserve to be saved because we are wayward. We are rebellious. We are self-willed. We have no restraint. We have no self-government. We do what we please. We go where we please. We act like we please. We talk like we please. We are undeserving of the grace of God. When humanity does not listen to God, and when they do not obey God, they do not deserve anything other than the wrath of God. But God has sent grace into the world. God has shown favor toward wayward, sinful, rebellious, disobedient humanity. And grace has the power to save. Grace has the power to redeem. Grace has the power to convert. The Apostle Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "I am what I am by the grace of God. I was a blasphemer. I was rebellious. I was outside a covenant relationship with God. I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but now I know Christ and I walk with Christ and I serve Christ, and I'm able to do that because of the grace of God. But grace must be accessed. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are justified by faith. We are made right with God by faith. But faith has accessed the grace wherein we stand, by which we have the peace of God. We have peace because we are no longer alienated. We are no longer separated. We are no longer the enemies. Now, even as was Abraham, we are the friend of God. Because of faith, we believed and we accessed the grace of God in obedience to the commands that God has given, whereby we might be justified and therefore be blessed with peace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved. No one will be saved without grace. For by grace are we saved through faith. No one will be saved without faith. There must be grace and faith in the heart of every person who is redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. For by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith accesses the grace of God. Faith provides victory. We can live a victorious life in this present world by faith. This is the domain of the devil. Satan is described in Ephesians chapter 2 as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We need to understand the power of Satan. We need to know the power that Satan is able to wield in the hearts of humanity. We talk about the power of God, and yet oftentimes we overlook, we undermine, we fail to truly understand the power of Satan. But through faith, by faith, we are able to overcome this most powerful of demons. Satan has the power to destroy your life. He has the power to destroy our hope. He has the power to mar our future. He has the power to corrupt our heart. He has the power to damn our soul in an eternal hell. But faith allows us to be victorious over the devil. We can overcome the devil. We must overcome the devil. 1 John 5, 4. For whosoever is born of God, one must be born of God. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When the Bible speaks of the world, it does not speak of this physical sphere where we live. It speaks of the evil that is present. Satan is the controller, the power in the world that can control the hearts of those who live in the world. But faith overcomes the world. our faith in God, our assurance of God, our desire to please God and obey God, enables us with the power to overcome the world and the devil. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Paul speaks of spiritual warfare. That's the war between my soul and the devil. Every individual has to fight this war. I have not fought in any physical war for which I am ever thankful. But I fight a spiritual war. I do battle with the greatest of enemies. I am engaged in war against the one who has the most power other than Almighty God. And so Paul discusses spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. He says you're going to have to arm yourselves with this armor that God has provided. And in verse 16 he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Listen to this. Whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith that controls the heart. Faith that is assured in the power of God. Cannot, will not be defeated by this powerful enemy that the Bible knows as the devil, the deceiver, the enemy. With the shield of faith, we can overcome all the fiery darts of the wicked. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept, the elect are kept. They're guarded. They're secure. By the power of God, does God merely keep us and guard us and secure us? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God has promised salvation to those who will walk obediently with Him. And He guards those who are in His care through faith. I must access the power that God has. Faith provides victory. Faith achieves the impossible. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, the children of Israel have come to the Red Sea. They've been delivered from Egyptian bondage. And they come to this mighty sea. This sea separates them from captivity and deliverance. And they look at that sea. They hear behind them the beating of the Egyptian chariots. Even in the night, they can see the dust of those chariots. And you know what they said to Moses? Now, these people have seen 10 plagues in the land of Egypt. They've seen the water turn to blood. They've seen the land covered with lice and with frogs and with locusts. And they have just heard the howling and the screaming and the crying in every household where the firstborn had died. They've just seen all of that. And now they look at the sea and they look at the dust of the chariots behind them, and you know what they said to Moses? You brought us in the wilderness to die. They literally believed, even at this moment in time, that it was going to be impossible for them to be delivered. And in verse 13 of Exodus 14, Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. those chariots, those Egyptians, those mighty horses, you will never see again if you will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What we need to do in our life is stand still from time to time. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the salvation of those that are rich. And he says it's going to be very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Really be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know how very difficult it is to put thread through the eye of a needle, don't you? Especially when your eyesight gets a little dim. And Jesus said there's a greater possibility of a camel going through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That's if he trusts in his riches rather than God. And as the disciples listened to that, they questioned who in the world then had the possibility of being saved. And Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That's the benefit of faith. That's why Jesus said, if you have faith even as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Move yonder to hence, and it shall be done." We are taught that faith can accomplish anything and everything, and there is absolutely no impossibility with God. What is faith? It's an assurance. It's a pleasure. It's an obedient walk. It's a personal relationship. And what are its benefits? It accesses the grace that will save the soul. It provides victory over the enemy of this present world. And it will achieve the impossible. And so all that believed were together and had all things common. And believers were the more added to the Lord. And they had a common faith that bound their hearts to one another, becoming identified as the body of Christ, the church, and bound to the heart of Almighty God. What a power faith is. Do you have faith in God? Faith in His gospel? Faith in the blood of Christ? As we close, we offer the invitation of Jesus Christ. And if there be anyone who needs to respond to this invitation that Jesus offers, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing.